guys, it's me, it's Greg, and it's the second series of the worst date movies ever. Can you believe it? So I took off a couple of months just because the idea of the show was never to do sort of continuous episodes one after the other. It was always every kind of certain number of episodes I was always going to take a break. That's what I've done. So I've had my break and I'm now back. If you have listened to all of the episodes in the first series, I want to thank you very much. I want to thank all my contributors who took part in the first series. So that's Tom, Scott, and Miroslava. Thank you very much to them. But I'm back. And, well, if you've seen the name of the episode, you know that I'm not fucking around this time. And similar to the Megan Is Missing episode of the first series, I'm doing this one solo. If you already know about the films that I'm going to talk about on the show today, that will not surprise you. But let's put it this way. If you like films where people vomit, either just on command or on each other in one very, very disgusting case, then, oh boy, have I got a show for you. So, As you'll know if you clicked on this episode, but somehow if you've got autoplay on and this has just come up out of nowhere, the theme of the show today is the Vomit Gore Trilogy by Lucifer Valentine. Now, who is Lucifer Valentine? This is a very good question. Obviously, not his real name. I mean, unless his parents were really, really, really mean and called him Lucifer. I mean, apparently he is a Satanist. He is a Satanist from birth. He's also, and I've got to be very, very careful to get this word right, so he is a metaphile. And what that means, in a nutshell, is someone who is turned on by people vomiting, or people vomiting on him, vomiting as part of sex. Anything vomit-related, it floats his particular boat. Which is why these films exist, essentially. And, oh my God, there's just so much vomit. So much vomit. Anyway, not a lot is known about Lucifer Valentine. No one knows his real name. No one, apart from people who've met him, obviously, know what he looks like. Even he's trying to keep his identity a secret. It's one of these things, I don't know if he is actually being sincere with a lot of what he says in interviews. Some of it, or at least the more recent stuff that I've read in preparation for the show anyway, does appear to be quite sincere. But there's interviews from him that I've read where a lot of it does appear to be sort of shock value related as well. So I'm not going to go into it now, but there's an interview online on a website called punkglobe.com where he does say certain things that I'm thinking, I'm not entirely sure if this is sincere or if this is legit or if this is just for shock value. I don't know. But yes, all we can say for sure about him is apparently he is a Satanist. He loves people throwing up on each other. And he did have a sister called Cinderella who committed suicide. Apparently, according to this interview, he was in an incestuous relationship with his sister, as you do. Clearly, obviously, not a lot going on wherever he lives, be that in America or Canada, because these films are all Canadian, apparently. So that's Lucifer Valentine. So before I go into the first film of the trilogy, I have to give the usual warning about spoilers. Not that these films are very plot-heavy, but in case you are very, very keen to, you know, not find out what happens in these films, why would you? But in case you are, just be warned about that. But more importantly, and this is the key thing here, what I'm going to be talking about on the show today is very, very likely to disturb some of you, if not most of you, because we're going to be talking about some very, very disgusting stuff on the show. And if that's likely to upset you, if you're likely to be upset by discussion of people throwing up over and over and over again, then really you owe it to yourself to switch this show off right now and go back to whatever it is you were doing before, because you're not going to get any enjoyment out of this episode. Well, you'll get maybe slightly less enjoyment out of it than me, because I'm doing this for you guys. Actually, it does kind of, before I go on to the first film in, this, in the trilogy, actually, it does kind of make sense for me to kind of talk about how I even heard about these films in the first place, because these films are very, very obscure. Like, you know, you're likely to have heard of The Video Nasties, you're likely to have heard of Cannibal Holocaust and Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave and Faces of Death and stuff like that. You're likely to have heard of them, but you might not necessarily have heard of the Vomit Gore trilogy. So these are Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, Regurgitated Sacrifice, you see what they've done there, it's very clever, and Slow Torture Puke Chamber. So I first heard of these films on a little known, well, not really, YouTube channel called Horrible Reviews. Shout out to Jerome in Holland, Gangster, because it's through his channel that I actually found a lot of the films that I actually want to talk about on this show. So yeah, I want to give thanks to him for kind of increasing awareness of all these really fucked up films that people like me can discover and talk about. So yeah, thank you very much for doing that. Really appreciate you doing that for me. But yeah, that's where I found out about these films initially. And anything like this, as much as I hate people throwing up, I just had to kind of, yeah, I just had to go into it, which is what I'm doing for you guys now. So here we go. So, 2006, the first film of the trilogy, it's called Slaughtered Vomit Dolls. It stars, as indeed do all three films in the trilogy, Amara LaVey, again, not her real name, who plays a character of Angela Aberdeen, and she is the only actress, bar one, who is in all three films. There's another guy, a guy called Hank Skinny, who also appears in all three, but I'm not really going to talk to him because he... his character is, well, I don't know what his character even is. He seems to play different characters in all three films, but Amara LaVey does play Angela Aberdeen in all three films. And she is pretty much on screen for, I would say, 75 to 80% of this film, which, as I said, Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, came out in 2006. And this film currently has a rating on IMDb of 2.6 out of 10. So, very, very popular film, as you can imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine why people would give it such a low rating. So, the story of Slaughtered Vomit Dolls, what little there is Angela Aberdeen is a bulimic runaway stripper turned prostitute. She makes a pact with the devil. She then starts having various hallucinations. And then, spoiler alert, everyone, at the end of the film, she drowns herself in a bathtub. That is basically it. Plot is not really this film's strong point. Now, yes, 2.6 out of 10 on IMDb does kind of indicate this movie is bad. And in a lot of ways, I can definitely agree with that. So I'm going to start off, well, let's start on a positive note. So what do I like about this film? So there are a few things I actually like about this film, and I would say is probably the best of the three films in the trilogy. So the first thing I like is I like weird films. So I don't mind films that are kind of experimental and kind of do different things with editing and with sound design and with the way that the film looks. So this film is edited and put together in a very different way from a lot of low-budget films. Now, the budget of this film apparently is somewhere between $100,000 and $1 million. Not that you would know, because the film has sort of quite a cheap look and feel. There's only really one actor slash actress in the film for the most part, so it does look pretty cheap. But it's edited in a very weird way. I think from reading interviews with Lucifer Valentine, he didn't want to make sort of a film with a sort of conventional narrative structure. He wanted to make like a kind of very experimental film because obviously what you're dealing with is you're dealing with a character who's in like the last week of her life, or she may possibly be dead already. It's unclear. And what happens is she's going through some kind of, well, a very, very tough time in her life, and she has hallucinations or dreams where people are murdered in very violent ways. Say she has bulimia, so she can imagine she vomits quite a bit, and she has dreams of vomiting and stuff like that. And to kind of create like this nightmarish vision, I can see what he's tried to do here. So what he's tried to do is he's tried to use a lot of very kind of distorted sound on the soundtrack, which if you read a lot of reviews of this film, if you get past the vomiting, you basically get a lot of what the fuck is this kind of reviews. So you've got a lot of reviews talking about, oh, the sound is horrible. Most of the voiceover in the film has been slowed down to make it sound like this, which is very weird. I can see why it would get on people's nerves, because it's like that for most of the film, or it's reversed as well. Anyone looking for like a sort of standard narrative is going to hate this film anyway, even if you take out all the other elements. But I thought it worked quite nicely for me. It did give it... I liked the feel of the film. A lot of the editing is very over the top. It's a very heavily stylized film, which is going to sound weird considering how sort of cheap it is, but yeah, it's very, very heavily stylized. So there's a lot of very, very quick cuts. The way the film looks kind of differs a lot from scene to scene. So there's certain scenes where it's just Angela Aberdeen talking to the camera, where it's very overly lit, like, so it's too bright and you can't really see what's going on. Other scenes are kind of in like black and white, and are sort of very, let's say, very heavily kind of music video slash, I don't know, like Saw-esque kind of editing, where it's very quick. Others, maybe less so. And yeah, I mean, overall, I would say, as a fan of kind of some kind of experimental films, like, I mean, I like Meshes of the Afternoon by Maya Deren, and Unchained and Lou, and films like that. So anything kind of which is thoughtful, I don't mind in terms of a different look, which I say, like, this film has. And also, I would say that Amara LaVey is actually pretty good in this. I mean, it's not like a professional acting performance, because from what I've read, a lot of the film was her talking to Lucifer Valentine, because they were in a relationship of sorts, a BDSM submissive kind of relationship, while the film was being, well, even before the film was being made. So you would have actual conversations that they would be having sort of interspliced into the film. And as a result, it does kind of feel quite real. And that really, really contrasts a lot, especially when we get to Slow Torture Butte Chamber in comparison to other actresses who are brought in the series and stuff like that. So I would say overall, she's pretty good. I mean, she's naked quite a lot as well, which, don't get me wrong, she's very beautiful. But yeah, by the halfway point, I did kind of get desensitized for the nudity side of it. And I mean, really, if you break it down, there isn't really a lot going on in the film. It's her talking to the camera, her stripping at a strip club, her apparently having sex with clients or talking to clients about her life, her throwing up, random visions of people being killed, on people throwing up. And that's really it. But yeah, I thought she was a highlight of the film, shall we say. Now, in terms of what I didn't like about the film, let's start with the vomiting. Again, I warned you already, but if you don't want to hear discussions of me talking about people throwing up and stuff like that, here's your chance to get out and stuff like that. So the vomiting itself doesn't really start for about 20 minutes. And the first instance of vomiting in the film, it takes place in one of these hallucinations that Angela Aberdeen has. You've got a woman who's naked. Obviously, most of the women in this film are naked at some point. She gets her eyes stabbed and then scooped out of her head. The gore effects, incidentally, are actually pretty good in this film. I think for a low-budget film, they actually look fairly realistic. They don't really look fake. They actually kind of work with the aesthetic that the director had going on. And yeah, this woman vomits all over a glass table. The camera's shooting from underneath a glass table. And I suppose because of the way the film's been shot and the way it looks, because it's not super clear kind of what's going on, it kind of bothered me, because, like I said, really don't like vomit. But it didn't bother me that much. And even the scenes where Angela Aberdeen is making herself throw up, literally like four fingers down the throat, jobby, and she's vomiting in the toilet most of the time, yeah, obviously I could have lived without that, but that didn't really bother me. However, I mentioned there's a guy in the film, as indeed he is in all three films, called Hank Skinny. And the only reason that he's in the film is because he does the most disgusting things that I've seen in any film, like, ever. Because really don't like vomit. And this is just ridiculous in terms of the vomit that he does. So there's one scene where there's a character called Princess who gets her arm cut off, and then there's some ridiculous thing where the guy gives her a guitar. Not a thing that's meant to be funny. Didn't really think it was funny. And what he does is he uses her severed arm to make himself throw up, which he does quite a lot. He does a lot of projectile vomity type stuff. And then he has like a beer glass, so like a pint glass. He vomits into this, and then he drinks it, and then he vomits it again back into the glass, and he drinks it again, etc., etc., etc. And yeah, I was not a fan of that. Just, yeah, it serves to me no value other than to shock someone, and because, as I mentioned, the director is very, very, very turned on by people vomiting, so it's purely for his benefit and not my benefit. Not that obviously directors should only make films for me, but yeah, I could have lived without that, let's put it that way. And then later on in the film, there's a man randomly in one of these visions. He gets his head cut off, or at least the top bit cut off anyway, and then what happens is that this guy, Hank Skinny, this time wearing a baseball cap and glasses, not entirely sure why, he eats his brain, and he just vomits everywhere and everywhere and everywhere, and he vomits in the man's sort of empty skull as well. So, great. Again, like, just, no, not a fan. Not a fan at all. I could have, yeah, quite happily lived without that. I mean, the only thing I'll say, and again, when we talk about the other two films, again, because of the way the film's shot, because it's not 100% crystal clear kind of what's going on, it's kind of grainy and it's raw, and because it's very, very heavily edited and stylized, it's not as horrendous as perhaps the other two films are when it comes to vomit and stuff like that, but yeah, still not really all that great. And yeah, as I mentioned, so if you're not a fan of vomit, it's vomit gore. So there is gore. So talking about kind of films maybe not being very good as a date movie, kind of why might not this be a good date movie in terms of the violence side of it? So as I've already mentioned, you've got a woman having her eyes scooped out of her head. You've got a woman having her face cut off, which is, you know, hey, I thought it looked pretty impressive. You've got this woman called Princess having her arm cut off. You've got a woman getting her throat slit. And you've got our gentleman getting the top of his head cut off with an electric and a manual saw. Hey, great. So, yeah, if you like your gore, hey, this film definitely, definitely, you know, has a lot of gore in it. So you will enjoy it from that side. And I thought, yeah, it was probably a highlight of the film itself. Really, there's not much else to kind of talk about in terms of the film itself. Not really a lot happens in it. The only thing I would say as well, kind of in terms of the film itself, is there are clips of home video footage, like classic home video footage, possibly from the 90s, shot on home video of a little girl talking to a camera, which we are meant to assume, I believe, is Angela Aberdeen. I'm not entirely sure what purpose it served. And also, Kurt Cobain is a very, very big inspiration to the trilogy, in particular this film, because the date that Angela Aberdeen commits suicide is the 5th of April 1994, which is the date that Kurt Cobain committed suicide, and even her name itself, so Angela Aberdeen, so Aberdeen, Washington, is where Kurt Cobain died, and Angela is because, well, she's the angel of Aberdeen. So, yeah, so that would be kind of, again, a link to Nirvana. Apparently as well, I mean, I've seen some of the behind-the-scenes stuff for these films, and there's random Nirvana lyrics spliced into the films themselves as well. So you've got that as well. So clearly, say, Kurt Cobain was obviously maybe a big influence on Mr. Valentine as well. He was clearly very upset by his death. So overall, I would say this is probably the second best film of the trilogy. I maybe liked it more than the other two films because the style didn't put me off as much as other people did, in terms of I could get past like sort of the really, really bad sound design. It's really not great sound design at all. Like I say, you've got so many people speaking sort of in reverse or really slowly, and you've got a lot of random, very, very harsh industrial sounds on the soundtrack and stuff as well. The look is really kind of very grungy and very, very grainy, but I didn't mind that so much. What I couldn't really look past is the vomiting. It just literally serves no purpose. I think if you'd taken the vomiting out of it, so first of all, the film would be about 10 minutes shorter, which, hey, might have actually worked, but I think people wouldn't hate the film so much, I think, without the vomit. I think you could have, yeah, literally taken the vomit out, and the film would have been absolutely fine. But other than that, I do kind of appreciate sort of an attempt to kind of make a film that's sort of different from what would have been out there at the time. It's definitely the director's own style. He is, as pretentious and as ridiculous as it's going to sound, he is definitely an auteur. And this is kind of, I think, for a first film, I think it's sort of his most, I didn't say as raw as it was, I kind of appreciate it, and I can kind of see what he was going for, and particularly because he didn't want to sort of really explain things. I think the first time I watched this film, a lot of it I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Like, they're just things that happen, and I'm like, right, what? And it's only through kind of researching kind of the film itself and working out, oh, okay, this is what's meant to be happening, etc. It does sort of make sense the second time, because, yeah, all three of these films I've had to watch a second time, which, as you can imagine, was delightful. So, yeah, overall, compared to other films, I just wouldn't recommend this at all because of vomiting. And obviously, it's a fucking terrible date movie. And it would be a 5 out of 5 on the bad date movie scale. It's just, yeah, I would never show this to anyone ever. I mean, fuck, I haven't brought anyone on the show to talk about it with me. That's how bad of a date movie it is. Just the idea of seeing people throw up on screen, just, yeah, that's enough to put anyone off. But even if you ignore that, which is pretty hard to admittedly, yeah, you've got a lot of gore, there's a lot of nudity, you've got sexual violence, although admittedly it's not something you literally see on screen, but it's definitely going on against women. And yeah, it's just, yeah, the style would probably annoy a lot of people. So yeah, I can absolutely see why maybe it wouldn't be everyone's cup of tea. So yeah, a horrendously bad date movie. I haven't really done one of those for a very, very, very long time. Not since Cannibal Holocaust, anyway. So, yeah, not a good start. But I would say it's probably the second best of the trilogy, realistically. Which brings us to the next film in the trilogy, which is called Regurgitated Sacrifice. You can see what they've done there. It's very clever, isn't it? Which, to be honest, the best way I can describe it is it's taking slot vomit dolls and turning everything up times 1,000, particularly in the vomit and the gore stakes. So this one also stars Amara LaVey as Angela Aberdeen. So she's not in it as much as the previous film, because if you were paying attention to the last film, her character died at the end of it. So the plot, well, as much as it, there is a plot, because even compared to the last film, there is basically no plot in this at all. It's basically, she's dead, and she's kind of in purgatory, or she's descending to hell, I guess. So there are identical twin demon spirits, the Black Angels of Hell, who are not credited in the film, but are actually played by Jen and Sylvia Soska, the Soska sisters, who are the directors of American Mary, See No Evil 2, and the upcoming remake of David Cronenberg's Rabid. This was when, I don't even think they'd even made Dead Hooker in a Trunk yet at this point, so they were literally, you know, no one would have known who they were outside of the Canadian horror indie scene, I guess. So, yeah. They are not credited, which is probably for the best. Anyway, they are, I guess, angels of Satan or something like that, and it's the twin deaths of Kurt Cobain and Angela Aberdeen, and I guess this is kind of what Angela Aberdeen is seeing as she kind of goes to hell, I guess, and that's the best way to describe it. And there isn't really a plot as such. It's a bunch of women come in the film. They get completely naked, apart from the Soska sisters, who are clever enough not to get naked at any point during this film, although there are many, many shots of them in their underwear. There is also twincest, if you're a fan of that kind of thing. So it's them kind of, I guess, indulging in kind of S&M, and like the last film, there's lots of vomiting and there's lots of gore. As I mentioned earlier, it's taken up to 11. So this one is typically considered the best, and I use the word best loosely, of a trilogy. In terms of how I view it, is that it's kind of the better aspect of the previous film and the better aspects of the next film all merged together into one. So, for example, there is a lot of improvement in terms of the way the film looks. There aren't really any lighting issues in this one, so there isn't any overlit, oversaturated stuff like there was in the previous film. Everything is sort of very, very well lit. There are a lot of, and this is actually one of my favourite parts of the film itself, the score is actually, I think, really good in this. It's quite droney. The director is very heavily inspired by like black metal and by bands like Sunno and Earth and the Melvins and stuff like that. And he actually composed a lot of the score, or maybe even all of the score, himself. So that's why it has that certain feel to it. And, you know, I really liked it. It wasn't as overly annoying and as intrusive as the last film score was in places, although I did like that as well. In terms of the editing is not as over the top as the last film. There are times where the editing does a lot of the very, very fast cutting, like in the last film, but it's not as much. And in terms of the performances, I mean, performances are okay. I mean, the Soskas, they can act a little bit. Obviously, I've seen Dead Hooker in a Trunk, didn't really like the film, but I mean, compared to the other actresses in these kind of films, they are actually pretty good, and they do actually work quite well in these sort of identical twin demon characters. Another thing that actually really, really is very different from the previous film is, whereas the previous film was a lot of found footagey, it was very grainy, a lot of it, and there was a lot of different lighting. So as I mentioned, you know, some shots were black and white and some were overly shot. This is all quite bright and quite clear, and all the gory, disgusting stuff for the most part either takes place in like a shower, which obviously is going to be white, or a bright white room, which I guess is meant to symbolize like the afterlife or purgatory or something of that nature. And yeah, all this disgusting stuff kind of takes place in there, and unlike the last film, you can't really avoid it. It's very, very in your face, the gore and the vomit effects, so to speak. They all take place in that, so you can't really miss them at all, which this is by far, I mean, in my opinion, the most kind of hard to watch of the three. The first film was hard to watch in terms of the vomit by like Hank Skinny, and Hank Skinny, as I mentioned, is in this as well. He does turn up and does his massive, massive, massive amounts of vomit in this as well, which I'm going to go into in a minute. But yeah, there's some really, really fucking disturbing stuff in this. So I know I've given you plenty of warnings about what we're going to talk about in terms of the show, but for this one in particular, there's some very, very, very disturbing stuff in this. So yeah, be prepared to be possibly sickened and offended, basically. Yeah, I'm just reporting what happens in the films, guys. So what I thought was amusing is this film literally starts off with a disclaimer. The previous film did not have a disclaimer, which I thought was pretty curious, considering what happens in it. Not only does the disclaimer say this film is only meant for people over the age of 18, you're most likely to be offended. It also, and it's all quite funny in the behind-the-scenes stuff as well, Lucifer Valentine is quite keen to point out that, yeah, you know, all the actresses are appearing of their own free will. They, you know, are happy to participate in the film. They're happy for me to do the things that I'm doing to them on the film, and they quite like it and stuff like that, which I thought was quite amusing. So massive disclaimer at the start of the film. And yeah, you've got some gore. The first 20 minutes of the film is pretty vomit free. It's kind of continuing in the same vein as the previous film, but maybe it's just easier to watch. It's kind of less chaotic. Right near the start of the film, there's a threesome between the Soskers and some woman who is a stripper, and she cannot act for shit. I mean, I'm not asking for like Oscar caliber acting in a film called Regurgitated Sacrifice, but yeah, even by these kind of low standards, she was fucking dreadful. Just pretty much the film consists entirely of, like I said, just people being forced to vomit. And here's a new one. So we've got vomit and we've got gore and now piss as well. So if you're into your piss stuff, if you're into your golden showers, then not as much as the next film. But yeah, there's a couple of scenes where that happens as well, including one very, very disgusting scene that I'm going to go into in a minute. So the Soska twins, they appear. They are conjoined. Obviously, they're not really conjoined in real life, and it's quite obviously a really shit prosthetic. They get cut apart by a guy with a massive knife. No idea who that is. They make a woman sort of throw up, which is, yeah, pretty disgusting. And then, you know, they're in the underwear a lot and they kiss each other, things like that. There's some random woman who gets kidnapped by a random guy. Now, one of the things I didn't really talk about in the previous film is it's unclear kind of who is meant to be carrying out all these kind of murders and stuff like that, because you've got Hank Skinny who appears, but he isn't really like the guy behind the camera. He's meant to be someone else, or whoever the fuck he's meant to be, I don't know. I mean, to me, they're all just kind of fantasies or hallucinations, so the person behind the camera doesn't really matter, but it is a bit kind of jarring because it's like, well, who's doing all this stuff? And again, she kind of has to give herself to Satan and things like that, and she vomits over a glass table. Second time that happens in the series. It's all lovely and very, very disgusting. And the film kind of carries on in that vein, so i.e. it's kind of like the last film, but just better production values, possibly a higher budget. And then about halfway through the film, it gets fucking absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So all the characters, or the female characters anyway, who are, you know, the victims, are introduced in terms of names that are relevant to Kurt Cobain. So there's a character called Miss Lake Washington 1994, who is a redheaded actress who is forced to get naked and pisses everywhere. Lake Washington, again, is a Kurt Cobain reference. You know, because again, this takes place in theory April 5th, 1994. And there's also scenes near the end of the film which are shot with handheld footage outside of Kurt Cobain's house where he killed himself. So, yeah, kind of weird sort of synchronicity there. And what happens with Miss Lake Washington 1994 is she gets tied up, her insides get cut out and pulled out, and she gets whipped with her intestines, and her intestines get forced down her throat, and obviously she has to throw up all over herself from having her own guts forced into her. And then Hank Skinny turns up, and then he vomits all over this woman, and he puts her feet in his mouth, and he throws up on her feet. It's, yeah, pretty disgusting. I mean, the gore, I gotta be honest, like, gore, I can handle gore quite fine, because it's fake. I know it's fake, so it doesn't bother me so much. So, for example, like this scene, it's using the same gore effect that Snuff used, the video Nasty, where it's clearly you've got a fake midsection and the real top because they're coming through the table. Once you've seen that, it's kind of hard to avoid. But yeah, I mean, so that stuff is fine. But yeah, vomit, because it's people actually vomiting. It's really, really fucking disgusting. And this is just the beginning. Then we get a lovely scene, where another kind of woman who's completely naked. All the women, as I mentioned, apart from the Soskas, all get completely naked at some point in this film. So she urinates in a glass, drinks the glass of urine, and then vomits it up again. Lovely, lovely stuff. And then we get the worst scene in the entire film, bar one, where you've got these two women who are meant to be stepmother and daughter. Probably not, as they seem to be about the same age. And they're just vomiting all over each other. It's absolutely disgusting. Fucking disgusting. I mean, it's kind of come to the point where there's certain types of vomit that I kind of don't mind as much as others. So in the next film in particular, a lot of the vomit is just red. It almost looks like, yeah, just food colouring, and it's just, it doesn't even look like real vomit. Whereas some of the vomit in this, it's like actual proper vomit, and it's just, ugh. It's the closest I came to literally just vomiting just while watching the film. Absolutely fucking disgusting. Totally, totally disgusting. And yeah, just lots of women being forced to throw up all over each other and stuff like that. And the worst scene in the entire film by far. So this woman, So the Soska sisters tie her up to a chair. They attach like these weights to her labia, which is pretty fucking just absolutely disgusting. And then Mr. Hank Skinny in his hat comes over and just, yeah, makes this woman throw up all over herself and throws up over himself. And then, and this is absolutely lovely, and yeah, this is probably going to offend everyone, so I'm really sorry. What they do is they take a giant tarantula and they force it inside her in an area of the body where you probably wouldn't want a tarantula inside you, and they sew it shut. Yeah, it's just, now, I mean, even seeing like the behind the scenes footage and seeing how they did it, and I'm, you know, not that scared of spiders. I mean, fucking giant spiders, yeah, I'll absolutely shit myself and run away, but like most spiders, like in this country anyway, I can deal with fine. But yeah, that was just like, oh Jesus Christ, like that's one of the most fucked up things I've ever seen in any film. Yeah, just how you would even think of something like that, I don't know. Fuck. Oh dear. I'm almost like tempted to vom just talking about it now. And then obviously like Hank Skinny comes along and just cuts her head off. And then there's some fucking ridiculous scene later. So this head, they cut the eyes out again, which is like, well, that already happened in sort of Vomit Dolls, so I don't really care about that. And then Hank Skinny, for some reason, there's a fucking octopus on this severed head. I don't know why. Hank Skinny he's wearing corpse paint as well at this point, which is absolutely hilarious. He puts the octopus on his head and he cuts the head open and he vomits inside the head and, absolutely, absolutely disgusting. Just, so much vomit. And it's just ridiculous as well, because say, why the fuck's he got an octopus on his head? It makes literally no sense, but I say not a lot of this film makes sense, to be honest. And then, so Angela Aberdeen hasn't really appeared in the film very much. There's the odd scene where she's pregnant, I think legit, I'm assuming, where she's with the twins on bed and they're kind of kissing her baby bump and stuff like that. And then she appears right at the end of the film looking, you know, very pretty, I have to say. And then she's forced to strip off, of course she is. And then she's sucking what's obviously a prosthetic penis. And then Lucy Valentine might have been influenced by Cannibal Corpse, because this penis comes blood. So there you go. In terms of plot, like I said, there isn't really a lot here. This is pretty much, I would say, of all three of the films, this is kind of the most, I don't know, I guess it is the best of the films in terms of it's not boring. I mean, the last film wasn't really boring either, but I could see why people would find it boring. It was kind of the easiest to watch. It had the best sound design. It was the best looking of the films so far. And yeah, it's the most disgusting as well. So if you like your gore and you like people vomiting over each other, then yeah, you'll absolutely fucking love this film. So yeah, there isn't really a lot more to say about this. It's just, yeah, just, it's pretty hard to watch in places. Absolutely fucked up. Clearly a fucking terrible date movie. I think this is the worst date movie I've covered on the show by far. Definite 5 out of 5. Broken the scale completely. If I could give it a 6 out of 5, I would, just because some of the stuff in here is just like, why you would watch this on a date, I've no idea. But yeah, oh well. It's kind of, you know, is what it is. So yeah, why is it the best? I suppose I should probably say why it's probably the best of the three. I mean, in terms of the first one, the first one is more surreal than this. This still has the air of surrealism to it, particularly in terms of the way it's edited and in terms of the sound design and things like that, and in terms of it not really having a plot. I mean, they do try and give the Angela Aberdeen character some kind of backstory, how, you know, the last one sort of said she was abused by a priest, and this one it's like how her parents abandoned her and things like that. But, I mean, really, I mean, that's not what people are here for. Again, I could totally live without the vomiting, because the vomiting is just, it's just way too much. Way too much. But if you did have to only watch one of the three, unless you want to watch all three, then this is probably the one to watch, because, like I say, it's the best put together. It's got kind of the best kind of set pieces in it and stuff like that. If you're into vomiting, it's got the most vomiting in it of all three of the films. Just a ridiculous amount of vomiting going on here. So, yeah, it's, I must sound depressed kind of going through all these films because, oh my God, like, just why am I doing this to myself? And this one, incidentally, I don't think I mentioned it, it got a 3.8. out of 10. So IMDb still think it's a bad film, but better than the previous film that I talked about. Oh, Jesus Christ. And yes, there is still one more of these things that we've got to go through. So yeah, fuck it, let's do it right now. So the third film in the trilogy is Slow Torture Puke Chamber, which came out in 2010. And this one is rated 3.3 out of 10 on IMDb, in case you were curious. Now, this one, just to give it a quick setup. So, Angela Aberdeen in this film, as was sort of hinted at near the end of the last film, has kind of evolved into occupying sort of different bodies. So it's not just one person now, because it's the afterlife and because these are hallucinations, in theory she could take on multiple different forms. So in this film, Angela Aberdeen is actually played by two actresses. So she's played by Amara LeVay again, though slightly more than the last film, but definitely not as much as the first film. And making her debut is Hope Likens, who is in, I would say, probably about 50% of the film. Now, in fairness to her, she's not terrible, considering what she has to do. But I don't know if it's because the character was already played by another actress and we're kind of used to her. She isn't as effective in the role as Amara LeVay was. Amara LeVay, I think partly because, like I said, the first film, it was a mixture of her actual footage with Lucifer Valentine and stuff for the film, whereas this is entirely kind of for the film. It doesn't really work as well. But that's sort of nowhere near the worst thing about this film. So, obviously, as you've been listening to this, you might think that I'm being particularly kind to these films. Like, if you read a lot of reviews online, a lot of people think that they don't have any artistic merit at all, that they're boring, they're disgusting, they're vile, they're badly put together films. And yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, these films are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, not by a long shot, actually. And yes, as I mentioned, they do include people vomiting quite a lot, which is, you know, quite off-putting to a general audience, unless you're into that sort of thing like Mr. Valentine is. However, I mean, there were things about them that were redeemable in my eyes. This film, however, is most definitely not really redeemable. And it's for several reasons that I'm going to go into. So the first one is that for the first 20 minutes of Regurgitated Sacrifice, you could think that you were watching what is basically a porn film, like a lesbian porn film with some fetish elements, because you basically got these hot women, they're kissing each other, they're touching each other, they're all naked, etc., etc. So you could be confused by thinking that you're basically watching a porn film. But then, obviously, the story kicks in, and it's fine, basically. This, for the first two-thirds of the film, you may as well be watching a porn film. Now, don't get me wrong, pretty disgusting porn film that I would not be in any way, shape, or form into myself, but basically, that's what it is. So, yeah. So, any kind of story is just completely not involved. I mentioned that the last film didn't really have a story. This, as far as I'm, you know, to me, the real story is you've got Angela Aberdeen, the Hope likens Angela Aberdeen, talking about what it's like to have bulimia and the fact that her dad abused her when she was growing up. And that's about it. That's literally the story. And really, all the film kind of contains is just a lot of, yeah, there just really isn't a lot of substance at all. And the biggest crime of all is it's fucking boring. It's so boring compared to the first two films. Now, people will say, well, the first film was really boring as well, but I didn't personally find it boring because of the way the film was made. It was quite experimental. And, you know, I found it kind of visually interesting, and it had an atmosphere to it. This has zero atmosphere. I mentioned that I liked how the score had improved on Regurgitated Sacrifice compared to Slaughter Vomit Dolls. This film is so boring, the score. The score for this film is just drone for the whole film. There is no dynamics to it. There is no variation to it. It's just zhong. Either sort of the droney kind of guitar score stuff, i.e. Sonno, that I talked about, or this kind of Eraserhead-esque industrial kind of ambient droney noise. But it's just drone for, yeah, 80 minutes, and it just gets very boring after a while. The film is clearly made on a much lower budget than the previous one, because there are only really four locations, three of which are hotel rooms, which I think tells you an awful lot. Clearly, you know, Lucifer Valentine is making this on a guerrilla budget, really. It was just I've got you in a hotel room and we'll do a bunch of disgusting stuff, and then yeah, and that's it. And like I said, it's just so boring. That's the biggest problem with it. I mean, visually it's kind of boring. In the last film, one of the things I didn't mention that I probably should have done is that he started using these kind of quite interesting camera angles, like from the ground, where the camera would just suddenly move like it was like a snake or something. I don't know, that's probably a bit of a shit description, but it was kind of like that, in a way. And this is just, it's just so flat. Really, it is. I know I'm talking about sort of the artistic sort of merits, or lack thereof, of the Vomit Gore trilogy. But really, compared to the other two, it's just, it's not even really very surreal. I mean, there are surreal elements to it, but, and this is the biggest issue of all, is I hate when people use the word pretentious to describe films. To me, using the word pretentious just means that you don't know what you're talking about, and you're a bit stupid, really. You're just a bit dumb. But with this, clearly, I mean, from interviews that I've read with Lucifer Valentine, he strikes me as he's quite an intelligent man, I think. Unless it's all the gimmick. But he strikes me, you know, like a lot of Satanists, as, you know, they're quite enamoured with their kind of choice of words that they use. You know, why use, you know, this word when you can use 20 other more complicated words to say basically this, what amounts to nothing. That's my experience as Satanists, anyway. And I guess there is a story of sorts here, and there's visual metaphors that I'm not picking up. But basically, all that happens is you've got two characters a character played by two different actresses, one of whom pees a lot. So if you liked the, you know, urine scenes, peeing scenes in the last film, boy, you're going to love this film, because there's a lot more pissing in this one. And you've got another character who vomits quite a lot. Not as much as, you know, the other two films, but still, you've got the vomit in there. And then you've got these two random women who have no idea who they are, why they're even in the film. They don't even have names. Again, one of them puts a bloody tampon in the other one's mouth. Lovely. I'm not really offended by that sort of thing, but yeah, that might, well, some people really, really hate the whole, that kind of thing. Anything to do with menstruation is a big no-no. So did that, got someone vomiting in a funnel, which is strapped to the other one's mouth. And then you've got this just so stupid, sort of beyond sort of Serbian film level, kind of like the most obvious visual kind of metaphor ever, which, why even bother doing this? It's just fucking stupid. It's not even disgusting or disturbing. It's just dumb. So what am I talking about? I'm probably rambling a bit, so I apologise. But yeah, I really didn't like this film, in case you didn't know. So basically, what you have is you've got Angela Aberdeen. So you have Amara LaVey, who appears to be sort of, you know, in a hotel room with Lucifer Valentine. Lucifer Valentine filming Amara LaVey peeing a lot. So at different points in the film, she's peeing in a bin. She's peeing in a glass bucket type beaker thing. She's peeing in the bath. She's getting a golden shower, presumably from Lucifer Valentine himself. And at one point, she's actually peeing in her own face. So she's giving herself a golden shower. And quite amusingly, or at least I thought this was amusing anyway, any sense of kind of like, you know, I don't know, realism's not the word I'm thinking of. But yeah, any sense that, you know, we're kind of, you know, that we're shooting a film is taken out, because they've put lots of plastic padding down on the floor to make sure that they don't get any pee stains on the carpet. So, yeah, just, yeah. As I said, if you're into pee, if you're into golden showers, then, yeah, this might be a good film for you. Didn't really add anything to the story. Bit pointless. And then you've got Hope Likens. So most of the film, she's either talking to the camera, almost like we're doing a documentary about bulimia and child abuse. wasn't very interestingly done, or she's vomiting. She does vomit quite a bit in this film. I haven't really mentioned this, but I guess there's an obvious kind of, you know, metaphor where if you're vomiting or if you're peeing, then it's for purging yourself of any kind of bad spirits or something like that. And yeah, there's a scene in this where she vomits, and she vomits a lot, and to start with, it's sort of quite clear, and then she vomits this black stuff out of her system, which is fucking disgusting. But yeah, again, there's so many different ways you could do this without literally having to show people vomit. So, yeah, I just wasn't impressed by that. Oh, another thing I mentioned. So, at the start of the last film, we had a disclaimer, which I thought was hilarious. This one has 2 minutes worth of disclaimers at the start of it. So, literally, Hope Likens herself talking about how, look, I agreed to be in this film by my own free will. You know, I'm not being abused. I actually like these films. You know, I saw the first one. And that's, you know, I'm a friend of Lucifer Valentine. We get on like a house on fire, yeah? So, you know, don't think that I'm being abused. And then there's another disclaimer, and then a third disclaimer, just in case you missed that. You don't know, you probably shouldn't watch this, it's for adults, etc. So yeah, again, absolutely hilarious. Also in this film, she gets slapped a lot, presumably by Lucifer Valentine, and choked. So if you're into your kind of BDSM, you've got that going on in there as well. You've got masturbation, which, you know, fair enough. Quite an infamous scene in the film, which they hinted at in the first film, because there's a scene in the first film where Angela Aberdeen is getting into a bath with a crucifix, but then you don't see what happens. And in this film, they actually play that off. So you have footage from the first film of Amara LaVey looking younger than she does in this film. Quite a bit younger, actually, even though not much time has passed. Not wanting to sound harsh, but time has not been very kind to Miss LaVey. And then you've got Hope Likens basically getting into a bath and masturbating with a crucifix, as you do. So that, and vomiting all over themselves as well, because why not? It's a vomit film, you may as well vomit in that as well. There's a scene where she vomits into shot glasses, does shots back up again, and then vomits them out again. Lovely. I mean, not the worst thing I've seen with vomit, but still not exactly my cup of tea. One thing I would say about the vomit in this film is it's all kind of this luminous sort of red colour, which doesn't really work. I found it less disturbing than just actual vomit. I don't know why they kind of decided to do this gimmick where, like, all the vomit must look red. I don't know, it just didn't really work for me. And yeah, admittedly, I have seen, this is the third one of these films that I've seen back to back to back, but at the same time, it's like, well, you could have done this a different way, couldn't you? You didn't have to do it this way, but you still chose to anyway, so oh well. So as well as that, another lovely scene, which will make animal lovers unhappy, I'm sure, is there is a random scene. So just to set this up, so throughout the film, again, I mentioned the film is a bit pretentious, you have these random clips of insects just interspersed into the film, or you've got sperm and ovum kind of just in there as well. And as well as that, you've got, yeah, just random sort of, what's it called, like public domain footage, which has just been put in the film for some reason or another. So, yeah. And for whatever reason, there's a scene in this film where Hope Lakins eats a birthday cake, a child's birthday cake, with live crickets on the top of it, and she eats pretty much the whole thing. And of course, she vomits it straight back up again into the toilet. Of course she does. Yeah. I mean, it's not, that sounds absolutely disgusting, and it is, but in the grand scheme of things, it didn't really bother me that much. As I mentioned as well, you've got these two women, one of whom, as I already mentioned, sort of gets a bloody tampon in the mouth and gets vomited into a funnel. I have no idea what purpose that served, but oh well, that happens. And then we got our third appearance in a row of Mr. Hank Skinny, and what he does in this film is basically what he does in all the other films, in that he basically vomits, and then he eats his vomit again, and he vomits up again, which, when you've seen that for the third time, doesn't have quite the same impact it does the first couple of times. And the reason for that in this film is because they do the Serbian film thing. So basically what you've got is you've got a gore effect, which is all right. I would say the gore effects in all three films are actually pretty good, considering the budget. This one, not so much. You've got a pregnant woman. Mr. Skinny pulls the fetus out of the woman's stomach. She cuts the stomach open, pulls it out in front of her, and then he kind of does a whole bunch of really disgusting stuff with the fetus. As you can probably tell that I don't care anymore. Like, I'm just going through all these, like, really horrible things. I'm just completely, like, you know, whatever about it. I just don't sound bothered in the slightest. So he bites the fetus's head. He, in sort of, I don't know, pretends to have sex with it or something like that. I don't know. He throws it in the shower and vomits all over it. And then in the most hilariously over-the-top thing, like, literally, it's like, I don't know, like, just the most ridiculous thing ever. You've got a blender. She starts cutting up the bits of the baby, putting them in the blender, blending them together, vomiting in the blender, drinking the vomit, and then just keeps on doing that for about 5 minutes. It was really boring, and he vomits in it to the point of, you know, that he actually breaks the blender. The blender actually stops working, and it starts smoking, that he's got that much shit in the blender that, yeah, he actually breaks it. So well done, mate. It's the reducto ad absurdum of vomit and babies and stuff like that. And you think, like, this is just really vile and disgusting, but first of all, the baby looks faker than the baby in American Sniper. You know, just consider that, just for a minute, really. And yeah, like I said, it's just really stupid. I've mentioned this a few times. The problem that I've got with a Serbian film is, from what I've been told, Paul McAvoy, one of the organisers of Fright Fest, he came on the Lament Configuration, he talked about Serbian film and how, you know, he knows the director, and the director's intentions were entirely sort of sincere, that he wanted to make a film about the Balkan War. And one of the things that happens in a Serbian film, in case you don't know, is there's a scene where a woman gives birth to a baby and the baby gets fucked by a guy, and it's newborn porn is what it's called. And the idea is that it's a metaphor for when you're born, you're fucked, basically. So when you're born, like, your life's over, basically. And I think that's the idea of this scene as well, but it's so on the nose that it's just completely ludicrous. Like, we get it. We get that this woman, like, you know, she was abused when she was growing up and stuff like that by her dad. And it's supposed to be, the idea is it's supposed to be a visual representation of her dad fucking her as a child, literally as a baby. But it's just so stupid. It's just so fucking stupid. And yeah, I was just no way disturbed by it. Like I've had to watch this a second time and I was just bored by it. The film just overall just, it's just so boring. And just to make the whole thing ridiculous is once, you know, Mr. Skinny has broken the blender, he then pours all the vomit and the bits of baby, or fake baby, I should say, all over himself. So great. Awesome. So yeah, I as you can probably tell, I did not really like this film at all. That's saying something. It's just not very interesting. There was just nothing really interesting about it at all. It's just boring. It's just basically a fetish porn film with some really ridiculously over the top gore in it, which doesn't work. And there's some probably metaphor and message in there about the futility of life or something like that. I don't know. It's just, point is that I've seen three of these fucking films now. And yeah, the first two were all right. I mean, they're not good films at all. But I mean, there were things about them to recommend. This one, I do not recommend in the slightest. Do not watch it. Yeah, so yeah, it does not get a recommendation from me at all. And you won't be surprised to hear that it's a horrendously bad date movie like the others, and I'll also be giving it a 5 out of 5 on the bad date movie scale. So a trilogy of really, really horrendous date movies. Like, you would need to be an absolute psychopath to kind of play any of these films to a potential date, you know, in case that wasn't obvious enough already. However, if, you know, get to the end of this now, if for whatever reason you would like to own these films, unfortunately, you're kind of out of luck. So the films were available on DVD at one point from a company called Unearth Films. However, for whatever reason, I'm guessing demand was so high, they've actually out of print now. So you have no way of being able to get hold of them unless you see them how I did, basically, through other means, shall we say. So if you know where to look, they are out there. If you want to check them out, by all means do. You probably won't have a good time. You might not even make it through the entire first film, to be honest. And yeah, so it's entirely up to you. Of the three, I would say go for the first film if you are willing to accept, you know, the restrictions of the budget and the fact that it's quite weird. It is like an art project film. It's an experimental film with people vomiting in it and heavy gore. So if you're willing to accept it on those terms, hey, by all means, go for it. Regurgitated Sacrifice is the best of the three in terms of, you know, it's got the highest budget, clearly. It's not boring, really. It's got some level of surrealism, but the surrealism actually kind of works in its favor, and it's not overwhelming like it is sort of Vomit Dolls. And yeah, avoid Slow Torture Puke Chamber because it's shit. Okay, just a couple of things just to round the episode off, because I don't know when I'm going to get the opportunity to talk about Lucifer Valentine again. Believe it or not, there is actually a fourth film in the series, which is a prequel. It's all very Star Wars. It's called, and can you believe this, right? It's Black Mass of the Nazi Sex Wizard, which, yeah, not quite sure what to make of that. Like I said, it's a prequel to the first film. Can't really be bothered to watch it. I've watched three of these films. Three is enough. I have no interest in watching it, but it exists, so there you go. Sad news as well. So Amara LaVey, obviously, is in all three films and is very, you know, very, very heavily associated with the trilogy. She passed away in 2017. Her real name is Brandy Petrie. And she was killed. She was involved in a double homicide in Canada. And yeah, so she is unfortunately passed away since she made the films. So very, very sad news. She was only 34 years old, which is far, far too young to pass away. So But, I mean, in terms of the work that she did in these films, particularly in the first film, it was really, really good. So that would be, you know, her legacy, was her work in all three of these films, so particularly the first one. So, yeah, very, very sad news, unfortunately. In terms of Lucifer Valentine, he has made two other films, other than Vomit Gore films, that I quickly wanted to mention. So the first one is a short film, and it's called A Perfect Child of Satan. Now, I have actually seen this, and what I would say is, again, it's not really a good film, but first of all, it's got no one vomiting in it, which is a fucking plus in my eyes. And what it's about a woman who, again, is a prostitute. Clearly, he has a thing for doing films about prostitutes and people who like to be, you know, abused and stuff like that sexually. And she meets a guy online, and, you know, it's a, say, 20-minute film. The first 14 minutes is her really excited to meet the guy, and then the last 6 minutes is her meeting the guy, and predictably, it does not go well. Now, I didn't hate this. It's not good in the traditional sense. Clearly, again, it's really, really, really cheap. It's mostly filmed in two locations. Again, you know, hotel rooms. Not quite sure why he can't sort of film anywhere other than a hotel room, but never mind. So, yeah, it's all right. It's done in the style of his Vomit Gore film. So it's got the same sort of, you know, sound design, the same kind of editing and things of that nature. So if you aren't really keen on watching films where people throw up and you still want to check out Lucifer Valentine's work, then it's a good primer because it's not too long. It's only 20 minutes. So 20 minutes when I watched it kind of went by pretty quickly. So, yep, by all means, that's a good place to start if you want to dip your toe into the world of Lucifer Valentine. He has also made a documentary called Black Metal Veins, which I am going to watch, and I may do a show on at some point in the future, because I am a huge black metal fan, as anyone who knows me will know. And, I mean, black metal, I mean, I imagine it's not probably involved that much. Apparently, basically the film, it follows a group of drug addicts, and one of them is really, really heavily into black metal. So black metal is probably just a passing thing in it, but I'm still quite keen to sort of check it out anyway and see how his style will work in documentary format. It might work quite well, it might not, who knows. Watch this space. So that is it for the show today. I want to thank you all for listening. If you've survived to the end, congratulations. You are made of much sterner stuff than most people. On the very next show, I'm going to be doing something very, very different from Vomit Gore. So I hope you guys tune in for that. And I will see you on the very next show for more of the worst date movies ever. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on Twitter and suggest movies for me to review at Worst Date Movies. And don't forget to click subscribe wherever you're listening to this right now to never miss any future episodes of Worst Date Movies ever.